Mike Mills joining us, the legend, Mike.
Good morning.
I don't know how else, besides if we were closer to you, I'd give you a big hug, buddy.
Well, thank you.
I don't know how you'd like that, but it'd make
I'd
me
like
happy.
That.
You brought Amy along. It's a Beauty and the Beast deal today, huh?
Very much so. Amy is the, she kind of keeps me all straight on the times and what's actually happening. I tell it my way, she tells it hers.
I've noticed. Amy, it's good to see you again.
Great. Thank you for having us.
You know, the first 10 years that Mike knew me, he didn't want me to ever meet you. So,
well, here
your
I
daughter's
am.
Coming to town. What time's she going to be there? None of your business. Get out. So, there's a little love there.
A little, just a little.
30 years, Mike?
Isn't that unbelievable? I have to pinch myself sometimes to think about where did time go.
Where did it go?
I don't know. Only thing I can tell you, it's been great. And when I stop and think about, you know, our friendship started just a little bit before that. Whenever you came to Murfreesboro,
right.
At that time.
Literally just weeks.
Yes, with TAO at that point in time.
Right.
And think it's been 30 years. Wow.
30 years. Mike was my first friend that I didn't work with. And we've been friends ever since. And what's interesting is I think about you this way. It's interesting, Mike, because I think about your story, but I don't think about you starting it. And it's weird because it's kind of nonlinear. When your first book came out, Peace, Love, Barbecue, right? There's a picture in it of your father using a metal grating on top of four concrete blocks on his knees with a barbecue brush smoking chicken. And then I think about you, the first time I met you, you were making me a cheeseburger because that's how I met you. I asked somebody at work, where can I get the best cheeseburger in town and a cold beer? And they said 17th Street. And that's when I met you, and then we got to be friends. So think about this, from when your dad was on the grate to you going to Las Vegas to being with a nationally known barbecue team to opening a barbecue restaurant in New York City where you had to figure out how to funnel smoke up 10 stories. I mean, you have an incredible story arc, Mike.
Well, you know, I feel very fortunate, and yes, that's true. And I look back at the times that have passed by and what all has gone on over the years, it's incredible. And I always think about, I still have this picture in my mind every time your name comes up in the barbecue contest of this radio equipment. I guess I don't know how else to state it.
Actually, it was an amplifier.
An amplifier went flying across the parking lot stating, we'll never use that one again.
We'll never use that. Yeah, because I was ensuring quality for the following year.
Yes.
Quality control is what I told my boss. He didn't believe that, by the way. But that because when I first started with you, we were the barbecue festival in its first year, 30 years ago this weekend. You had a fold-out table, a small podium with a little 8-inch speaker, and that's where you awarded the trophies for right in the intersection right in front of 17th Street.
That's correct.
And now Look at it today. You've got the Murphy 500 coming up. You've got a huge stage. You've got so many teams that want to come. You don't have room for them all. You have teams that come from across this nation and other countries. You always talk about, I quote you a lot, it's what happens when you're the Confucius of barbecue. People like what they grow up with.
Oh, absolutely.
And that barbecue is one of those. I very often, Mike, whenever I do quote you, I talk about it this way. Barbecue is a vehicle for friendship.
It very much is a vehicle for friendship. I can't tell you how many friends that I have made over a barbecue or talking about barbecue. Just a discussion of it. And I'm telling you, around the world, whenever I mention that, the people that I have talked barbecue with and discussed barbecue and become friends over the barbecue, people I've never actually met other than on the phone.
And everybody in the world, whenever they went to Vegas, they went to Mike Mills' place, they had to go find you in Vegas.
They absolutely did, and that was always very difficult because the name changed from here in Southern Illinois to Las Vegas.
It was Memphis-style barbecue in Vegas, right?
Yes, Memphis barbecue.
Because people would take pictures of the sign and send it to me.
Yeah.
So, found Mike!
Found it.
Mike, this weekend, Barbecue Festival, what's 30 years? Are you putting anything extra out there on the table when it comes to this weekend to celebrate 30 years, or are you just going to continue the story arc of making this a better and better event?
Well, actually, it's just making it a better and better event. You know, last year we added officially the steak contest to where that anyone could, you know, from across the country. And we'll have, I'm thinking, close to 100 entries.
Really?
On the steak contest this year.
Good.
We have had that in the past. We think that we'll have that many again. There's an awful lot of people that are involved in the barbecue world that right at this time are down in Florida in different areas. That
I've seen a lot
hard.
Of those guys taking that. Matter of fact, I think Roger Twinhoffel is down there right now, and Roger told me he had fixed, I think, like 3,000 sausages or something like that to help people out in Florida.
Yes, there's a lot of food going on right now, a lot of help.
Texas and Florida.
In Florida, yes, that they have more than one place that they are, you know, have camps right now and are preparing, are still fixing food, you know, for the first responders. Anybody will be fed, but it's really for the first responders so they can get in, work longer hours, and have something good to eat.
Right. Mike, and you and I have done several of those events over the time. Matter of fact, I remember the health department came and tried to shut us down one time.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And we were doing that for the flood victims along the Mississippi River.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. Mike, Amy's with you now. This story arc that I'm really fascinated with, it's within another story arc. And that is, we were one time you and I were on the air and we were talking about the Buccaneers, right? The football team, the Buccaneers. That is actually an old word. It is about barbecue. Buccaneers is barbecue. When the sailing ships in the Caribbean, you'd see smoke. Those were Buccaneers. They were preparing, and that's how they were known, for the smoke they were using to prepare their meals, to preserve the meals. All right? Now, I mean, here's interesting. Mike started, right, a little after the Buccaneers.
Yeah, right, a little
with
bit.
With your, and then your dad, and then you stood on your dad's work, and then Apple City grew that work, and now, Amy, barbecue is not just for poor folk anymore.
No, not at all. Barbecue has actually gotten quite expensive. It's really, I think, the most popular American food right now, and we watch people come from all over the world, and they're coming for barbecue, but they're really coming for community. They've read about 17th Street. They want to be part of our family, part of our church. And so when they come in, they're sitting side by side with locals, and on any given day or night, it's really half the people in our restaurant who've come from another city, state, or country. And that's really special that we're able to bring all those people to Southern Illinois, but they're searching for a community and a place to belong, I think.
And in that special treat, is it hard to meet people's expectations when you make as much barbecue? Because I look at this, and this is due to my exposure to you in particular, and Mr. Pat Burke, too. Let's not forget, you know, Mr. Dave Fombell either. You know, I kind of grew up on your guys' barbecue knee, right?
Right.
You know, the last time I had some of Pat Burke's barbecue, I was like, it's kind of sweet. And he says, that's kind of the way the sauce is going. There's trends that move within it. But, you know, I've got friends of mine who moved here from California, and they said, how come you guys invented rub and I can't find any in the stores? I mean, you've had literally a nation-to-nation, coast-to-coast effect on barbecue.
Well, you know, and all that is very true, and there's a lot of people that – especially the barbecue here in Southern Illinois, and I always like to say Murfreesboro, but that just happened to be where I'm from. But at the same time, the effect that barbecue has had on, I'm going to say, nations, it's incredible, actually worldwide now, that we all got to talking
right
together at that point in time and whenever all this started. I don't think anyone, including myself, really realized what the potential was.
It was something we kind of did for ourselves, wasn't it?
It was.
When it came to Apple City, I mean, you guys were a tight group, and you kept going down to Memphis. When I moved here, I'm like, what do you mean there's professional barbecue teams Now we just take it for granted. The Food Network shows us all these things. I'm going, I didn't know you. Competitive cooking?
Yeah.
On ribs? It's weird how you open up, you know?
You know, that world is still the same now as it was at that point in time of people going and challenging each other on barbecue. And there's, you know, there's finally got to be some rules.
Right.
There are rules, but there aren't rules. You can do just about anything that you want. It's just a matter of certain things that you grade them on.
Right.
I mean,
the first time I walked through the streets and you were giving me tips on judging and Kennedy was giving me tips on this is the smoke ring and this is... A matter of fact, I tell you what, if you want a tip right now, you got a question about barbecue, we're going to take a couple of questions now. You can ask the legend. Call me now, 985-5803. That's 985-5803 or star 1340. We might have a surprise for you if you take the time to call and ask Mike a question here. Because it's weird. From your first book, Peace, Love, Barbecue, I picked out two things in particular. At the time, I was running for office. And so I'd have people over the house, you know, do a little campaign money and make them the Bob Gibson white barbecue sauce. People going, there's no such thing as white barbecue. Yes, there is. And I got it from Mike Mills' book. And the other thing is I can remember having your book spread out with a butter knife, trying to figure out your instructions on how to get that membrane off the inside. It's weird, you know, because those are the little memories that I've got even afterwards, because if it's going to taste as good as Mike, I got to try harder.
You know, all those little things we still do today, you know, removing the membrane.
Big deal.
It is a big deal.
I never had it removed on one rib ever for my mom and dad. Not once. It was just a piece of parchment on the inside of a rib. So,
but, you know, the different things that happen and the things that stick with you and memory-wise, it's incredible.
Hey, you're on the line with Mike Mills this morning. What's your first name? Where are you from?
Hey, John from Benton.
Hi, John from Benton. What's your question for Mike Mills today?
Mr. Mills, I was just wondering, you know, I hear you guys talking about your dad starting way back when. For a guy that's at home just trying to make his own pit, what's the most important components to actually making a good smoker at home? Not buying the egg, not buying all those things, but making your own, kind of starting from scratch, kind of like it was whenever your dad started.
What a great question, first off, because this I've taken steel grate that kind of disappeared from the coal mines with some concrete blocks, and I put tin on top, and I faced it to the south to get a breeze to blow through. I mean, I've done everything. Mike, what's your advice here?
Well, you know, keep it simple. You really don't have to have all the modern equipment. Will it make it easier to do and give you something to do and worry about while the meat is cooking? Absolutely. But the concrete blocks or the wooden boards, the makeshift barbecue pits, especially 55-gallon barrels, they've came back and are very popular now and rather expensive. Because you can have nice paint jobs on them. Well, where it used to be, you got one for free or a neighbor gave you one or something along that line. But there really is no difference. It is I'm going to call it a vessel. It is something to contain the fire and to be able to help control it. So it makes no difference whether it's a 55-gallon barrel or whether it happens to be a... one of the new porcelain barbecue pits, this type thing. It's just something as a matter of control and you taking the time to control it.
John, here's the thing. You know, as I look at Mike, this is probably the first time I've seen him in over 30 years and he didn't have a thermometer in his front pocket. That from the years hanging out with Mike, that is the instrument. You can have the smoker, but that ability to check the temperature deep into the meat and knowing that's really one of the more important items.
That is, as far as I'm concerned,
the key.
What's
the temperature you're looking for then?
All right, so what's the temp? John wants to know what's the temperature you're looking for at, Mike?
I'm going to tell you, it used to be 220. This day and age is more close to 250. Don't know why that... Everything has gone up in temperature.
And is that the deepest part of the meat? Is that a thermometer you're talking about, as in you're injecting it into the meat, or is this just the actual temperature of the vessel that you're cooking in?
No, this is the actual vessel that I'm cooking in. That's what the inside temperature, the grill level temperature where your meat is, that's what the temperature I'm trying to maintain in order to bring the meat up to a what I call a done state. You actually overcook barbecue in order to be able to get it to become tender as it should, but yet still have the moisture and the flavor profile that you're wanting to get, you know, from your wood.
Hey, John, would you mind if we if Mike gives you a book? It's the new book that's out, Praise the Lard.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, do you want, Mike, you want an autograph copy for him?
Yes, I will.
And so here's my pen. It's a gel
pencil. One thing we're really super proud about this new book, Praise the Lard, is the meat chapter of the book. And we are really walking you through every single thing, you know, that we know about barbecue. And fire management is really the key to it all. It's keeping something very consistent. And we're using... we've written all these recipes for really a home cook and a home grill.
Good, because that's when I need it, you know. I keep trying to get better, and Kate's gotten really good, by the way. It's your fault.
John.
Hey, John,
Tom,
from
he's not putting a pop-up slab of ribs in the middle of that book, is he?
No, we're just putting a little sauce on the edge for you, though. You can lick that on the way home, okay?
There you go.
Hey, John, come by the studios. That's waiting for you here, 8 to 5. Karen will have that for you at the front desk, John, okay?
Thank you very much. Thanks, Mike.
Hope you enjoy.
All right. And one more caller real quick. I'm going to, providing you're still there. You still there? Yeah, you are. Are you there? Nope. I think we lost our caller. That was my fault, by the way. So the phone line once again is open. This weekend, quickly, how many different teams are you anticipating this weekend in Murfreesboro?
76, I believe, is what the number is.
All right. So 76. You've got judges in two different categories now? I mean, now that you've changed Kansas City and Memphis?
Yes, we'll have the Memphis-style judging, and we'll also have the Kansas City-style.
In addition to the state contest and the kids' queue.
And the fish fry.
Yes, oh, and the fish fry.
And the wings.
And the wings.
And the wings.
That's Thursday
this
night.
This goes
fish
on,
and wings.
On and on.
Lots of
like
ancillaries, yes.
All right, because let's talk about this for a minute. We're going to grab you, and we're going to be with you in just a minute. Hold tight. Here's the thing, because Thursday night, this is the thing that once upon a time was only for the sponsors. You had to know somebody. You had to have. Now it's open. It's a championship buffet, and it's incredible.
It is, and I can't tell you how much I enjoy seeing all the people that come to this and has over a period of years came and supported the barbecue contest.
So this weekend, Thursday night is the buffet. As I said, that's open to the public now, which is a relatively new thing. Been going on for a few years. And, of course, the street dance. I consider that the social night, Murphy 500.
Mm-hmm. Well, Thursday night is the fish fry, then a DJ following. Right. Friday night is the buffet and Murphy 500.
You're on the air with Mike Mills. So what's your first name and what town you're from?
Is that me?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, I'm Stephen Combs.
Hi,
you know
hi Dr. Combs. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I grew up in North Carolina, and the barbecue there is different. So when I came to Southern Illinois, you know, I came to eat barbecue, and I said, oh, this is barbecue.
I like, you know, but this is, you know, Mike and I just had eye contact the minute you said Carolinas. We're going, hey, it's one of these guys.
Yeah.
But you know what? Great barbecue, Mike, but it is. It's different, man.
Well, yes, different parts of the country have a different style of, I don't know whether it was what they had or what was shown to them by someone over a period of years, all the way from the type of wood that they use to the type of sauce that they use to actually no sauce whatsoever, just a dry rub.
Right.
Being considered a sauce.
Why do I think of Carolina? I think of sweet too.
Yeah.
Well, because part of it
sweet
is. It all
mustard.
Depends on where you're
where
coming
you
from
it.
And
right.
What portion of the Carolinas, all the way from the vinegar, which I'll call more sour, but yet you can sweeten that up with just a little bit, and you know, and a lot of places do, you know, all the way to the. Other sauces that are created out of that, you know, most of them have more vinegar. You have a mustard sauce that tastes exactly like mustard. You know, you don't have to wonder, is that mustard?
And you don't need that. You don't need much of it either.
No.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the same time, to certain people, that is the sauce that is what they like and what they love.
And this comes back to Mike's mantra. You like what you grew up with.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's weird because, you know, I grew up with open pit with the membrane still on it and cooked in a broiler in an oven. And so my book's open when it comes to coming to Murfreesboro because it's not that. It's something that's really good, you know, that you can that's tender and with its own sauce. And you know, and you could make it yours. I think this is it.
And Tom, actually, you know, you like what you grow up with, you can get converted.
You can become
that's
converted.
That's a minister speaking, of course.
Yes, and a lot of people do become converted and end up trying more sauces. It used to be that you only had one, and that was going to be it, no matter what. This day and age, people use a variety of sauces.
All right, just quickly, because we're running out of time, Dr. Combs, Dr. Stephen Combs, and we're going to have you an autograph book. It's the hardback edition. Amy brought you the hardback edition. You're going to really like this. Matter of fact, I believe you're in your second printing for the restaurants now, aren't you, Amy? Something like that? It's a really good call. Dr. Combs, this book is waiting for you between 8 and 5. Karen will have that for you at the front desk, okay? That's Combs, C-O-M-B-S.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Great to talk to you.
As always, Dr. Combs, you have a good day, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, I tell you what, we're going to have to get moving on here this morning. And, Amy, I want to thank you for coming by. But really what I'd like you to do is when I've got a chance to read your new book, I'd like you and Mike to come back.
We would love that. Lots to talk about.
There is a lot to talk about. And you know what? It's ours. It's something for us to be proud of. It's one of those. It's a Southern Illinois export. How many of those can you name? It is a real, honest-to-goodness Southern Illinois export.
Right. And we actually, it's really a love letter to Southern Illinois and to Murfreesboro. And I think people of all generations will find a lot of stories and a lot of memories in these pages.
We've got stories. On the advice of our lawyer.
It's okay. I found out. It's okay to tell them now.
It's okay?
Yeah. You can tell the real version.
Statute of limitations?
Statute of limitations.
You know, because, I mean, you think about the hotel's gone. Angelo Fiorino. That's where all the judges stayed for many years.
Exactly.
You know, there is a story arc here to growing. And if you really want to come out and you want to have some fun, Friday night is a great night. If you want to eat, Thursday night, and there's barbecue served all along the way. Although when it comes to the teams, they're pretty particular about, you know, where they're going and what times, because, you know, you've got a time schedule to meet there when it comes to Saturday in the competition. So this weekend, when's the best time to come out, Mike? What's your advice? Best time to come out?
My advice is, of course, I'd come on Thursday night. You know, that's fish fry night. You know, I'd want to take it all in. And I want to come back on Friday to be able to have the Grand Champion Buffet and the pretty good barbecue coming out of that buffet. And just to meet the people, the different people that come here to Murfreesboro and have been here every year, just like yourself. You've been here every year.
30 years.
30 years worth. You know, think about that. That's a long time for something to run. I never gave a thought as to ever
years?
Going that long.
You know, we toted tents. I mean, you'd be out there at 6 o'clock in the morning sweeping up the cigarette butts off the street after the street dance to make the town look good again. Just a great time no matter what we're doing. What a great time. One of my greatest memories of my life is spending the weekend with you and meeting all kinds of interesting people. What are you putting in there? Well, some of that's squirrel, some of it's duck.
That's true.
There's always a colorful person or two there, too.
Exactly.
Mike Mills, we'll get you back in here soon. Amy, it's always good, and thank you so much for coming in today.